You're listening to Seattle musician Jamie Aaron's song, These Girls. It's from her debut solo album, Velo Scene.
Girls, they're seen, they're seen, they talk, high bid, the white lights, your sights, all stars, synth kids.
Jamie Aaron started her Seattle music career as the guitarist and frontwoman for the indie pop band H's for Hellgate. More recently, she played with the Seattle quartet 18 Eyes. Jamie Aaron grew up as an only kid in Wyoming and Montana. Her parents gave her piano lessons, but Jamie told Ross Reynolds that her idols inspired her to change instruments.
I was really enraptured by mother-daughter country duo, the Judds. And so that led me to get my first guitar, and I ended up seeing them perform live and meeting them at about 8 years old, I think. When I saw them play, I was like, that's what I want to do right there.
Your music doesn't sound a lot like the Judds.
No.
So you obviously took it in a different direction musically, but what was it about them that kind of entranced you?
I think just, I was also adopted and I'm a redhead. And so I think I kind of secretly hoped that they were my long lost family and would scoop me up and take me away on tour. And I'd get to live life on the road. That obviously didn't happen.
Jamie Aaron's my guest, and she just released her first solo album, and it's called Velo Scene. Now, it's spelled V-E-L-O. Does it have to do with bicycling?
Yeah, it just has to do with a kind of a memorable situation that took place outside of the Velo Bicycle Shop when it was on Capitol Hill. Just kind of a tender moment in my life. So,
what was it?
Just the beginning of a relationship and having somebody kind of take care of me in a moment that I needed them.
It began outside the bike shop.
Yeah.
and it went on from there. So you've been in the music scene for quite a while, but I understand it's not your main source of income. Is that your goal, or are you kind of happy having these two different sorts of lives?
I'd prefer to have a sustainable music career, and that's what I'm continually working for. I can't think of many Seattle musicians I know that don't have some sort of day job, or bartenders or servers or something like that. I think it's a pretty magic ticket to be able to sustain yourself on music.
What's your day job, Jamie?
I'm a data analyst.
As someone who would like to be a full-time professional musician, I guess there's choices to be made. Maybe you see a path. If I went that way, that's a bit more commercial. That could leverage me into a job in that area. But maybe creatively, that's not what you want to do. Is that a balance that you're trying to find?
Yeah, there's that. I think my balance is more, do I want to be a starving artist, or do I want to have a steady income? And kind of, sensing that if I really went for it, if I moved to another city, possibly, if I made myself really available to music, then something might come in front of me a little more easily than, I know a lot of other musicians that have this problem where they have tech jobs or they have, steady 9-to-5 jobs, and they get 2 weeks off a year, and it's really hard to go tour around the country when you just have 2 weeks of vacation. There's a joke kind of with some other Seattle musicians too, that a lot of us get stuck being Seattle bands, and that, we kind of get a little bit of notoriety in town, but never go anywhere.
So I understand you've got a song that actually kind of talks a little bit about music not being your main source of income.
Yeah. The song Cold Sister, it came to me after I watched the documentary 20 Feet from Stardom, which is about the backup singers. And
Darlene Love and
all the musicians
who were off on the side away from the spotlight, but all the amazing careers that they had. And the movie is terrific because it brings them to the forefront.
Yeah, and they're so cool. And I watched it and I got so sad because I was like, these women are so incredibly talented, and they've, they're just in it, and they still don't have what they want. Or, some of them do, but, they didn't get their moment in the spotlight.
All right, I'm tantalized, Jamie Aaron. Let's hear Cold Sister.
All right, sounds good.
Listen to the sound of the dark halls calling. We're rolling. large nights locked up in chipsets, a casket waiting for a ride. I won't get paid today, I don't make money this way, still I do okay. Yeah, I'll do it anyhow, as long as you're sticking around, yeah, okay. Ten-year-old loner waiting for a tour bus. Ladies there, and you're sure of. Have it all in one take. To be known is everything. I won't get paid today, I don't make money this way, still I do okay. I'll do it anyhow, as long as you're sticking around, yeah, okay. This cold sister's iced me out, still I'm trying to be about her, okay. Yeah, I'll run this anyhow, as long as you're sticking around, yeah. I have the number one, I have the number one, I have the one. I have the number one, I have the number one, I have the one. I'll do this anyhow. Okay, 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 okay.
That was Jamie Aaron, and she was playing Cold Sister from her new solo album. It's called Velocene. You may have heard her in Seattle bands H is for Hellcat and 18 Eyes. You're an openly out musician. Washington has this reputation for being one of the homes of the Riot Girl movement and what's known as homocore. These are kind of countercultural queer genres back in the 80s and 90s. Flash forward to 2014. Is there a queer music scene today in Seattle?
I think there is, in the way that it's very blended into the regular music scene. There's a newer festival called Mo Wave that showcases a lot of bands with queer members. But I would really have a hard time thinking of, and maybe it's just because it's not in front of my face, any sort of movement that's about queer music or any sort of collective of queer artists other than kind of just what happens organically on any night of the week.
What changed, do you suppose, between the 80s and 90s when perhaps it was a more overtly defined movement like Riot Girls and homocore and today?
I think the effects of those movements were successful in that women and gay people just were welcomed into or just able to blend into straight society a little more, and everyone became a little more accepting But that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone wants to be like straight people or everyone wants to blend in. But I think there's maybe less intention about being a queer musician and being needed to be seen that way.
You play at a lot of queer friendly places like Chop Suey and the Comet and Barbosa. Do you get to be different as a performer there than you might be? I don't know if there are any queer unfriendly places, but at a place like that where there might be an audience that's more attuned.
I think I might, because those places are on Capitol Hill, I might expect more queer people to show up versus playing someplace out of state or playing someplace in Eastern Washington.
And Capitol Hill sure is changing. We recently did an interview with the author of a book called There Goes the Gayborhood, yeah, about how Capitol Hill and gay neighborhoods are changing. And that kind of fits into a song that you've written called Left Is Never Right. What was the inspiration for that song?
Just exactly that, seeing Capitol Hill change so much. I've been here for 12 years, been involved in the music community and obviously present on Capitol Hill a lot of that time. And, you know, just a couple years ago, it seemed like over the course of two weekends, everything just changed instantly. And at first, I think myself and my friends kind of laughed it off as a joke, like, oh, you know, this is just a phase, it'll go away. And the change is really stuck, and it's a really different place than it used to be, as evidenced by kind of anecdotal incidences of hate crimes that have happened. And I think a consensus that people feel a little less safe up there now.
Well, let's hear this song then. Left Is Never Right.
All right.
Hi, Jamie. It's Naomi. I'm bored. Do you want to play tonight? Do you want to get a drink? If not, I understand. Checking.
Is never right. Otherness is the life, bro. We broke this. Tonight I want what's mine. Tonight. Yeah, I'm alright with folks, but tonight on Pike and Pine, it's like what the. Tonight I want what's mine. Tonight we take what's ours. Ooh. These vultures in Barbados, drunk in steamworks, huh? Call me. Tonight I want what's mine. Tonight. The night before, the night you rolled into Columbus, our hood. Tonight I want what's mine. Tonight let's take what's ours.
That was a little bit more from Jamie Aaron's new solo album, which is called Velocine. So in that song, Left Is Never Right, you sing, I want what is mine. What's that song? What's that line mean?
Just about wanting my neighborhood back and having what's ours. Not that anyone owns a neighborhood, but, you know, longing for how it was.
You think that's even possible?
No, I think it's gone.
But one can want things that are not possible.
Right.
On your album cover, just looking at the picture, you've got short red hair. You look almost androgynous. And I understand that's kind of a change in your appearance from perhaps earlier days when you had longer hair. You look more traditionally feminine. And you were telling us you noticed kind of a change in the way people's attitude towards you when you changed your appearance.
Yeah, a little bit. I think within music, when my hair was longer, I think I would notice more men being willing to talk to me after the show, or just more guys in my audience, or in the audience in the bands that I was in. And since I've had shorter hair, and especially with in 18 Eyes, the other two women in the group were very feminine, very pretty. And we would play shows, and then everyone would be going to talk to them. I was like, wait a minute, it's just my hair is shorter. I'm the same person. And of course, because they look that way, not a lot of people knew that they are also gay. And that, you know, whatever flirting efforts were going on were really futile. Yeah, it's been interesting. I had a period in my life also where I was a little bit heavier, and then I lost a lot of weight, and also noticing a similar change in how people addressed me and how people, how friendly people were, and watching that change happen just with a haircut. It was interesting, and also a little, you know, hard. The upside was that as far as visibility as a queer person, I had more queer people talking to me and interested in knowing what was going on with me. So
was it a net gain?
It was a net gain.
Well, that's so interesting. I can sit in a room and no one's going to be staring at me, but as a performer, you're up on a stage and people are looking at you and they're listening to you, but they're also looking at you, and your physical appearance and the way you project physically is a very important part of what you do.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, people are making decisions about how relatable you are. Yeah, that's definitely an aspect of being a performer for sure.
Do you think much about that? Here's why I want to be as a performer. Here's the things I want to do physically beyond what I'm singing and what I'm playing to kind of project to an audience to get a reaction.
I think authenticity is most important. So whatever, you know, however I want to identify that day or week or year, whatever is going on for me, that's the important part. And so if less dudes are talking to me, then so it is.
So be it.
Yeah.
What's exciting to you about the music scene in Seattle right now?
I think there's a lot that's exciting that's happening. I mean, from being an elder person in the community, the
you're not
thing.
That old. Come on, Janie. How old are you?
Oh, I'm not going to say.
All right, but you consider yourself an elder in the community.
Yeah, I've been here for 12 years.
Okay.
Just seeing a lot of the rock clubs go away and having a little less inexpensive ways to go out and see local music. On the flip side, there are a lot more house parties and kind of underground events happening. Of course, those are unadvertised, so they're hard to figure out where they're at. But I think that there's a really strong kind of underground movement in that way, and that's exciting.
Some bands still do get in a van and drive around and perform gigs all over the place. Is that an option for you and your guitar and your computer, to go tour and play around the country?
Yeah, I could do that for sure. I kind of make a joke sometimes that I just want to do a circuit of all the gay prides and Dinosaur, which I think would be wild. I don't think I'd fit in there.
And as an elder, I mean, you can probably comment on the big changes you've seen just in the last 12 years about both making your music and also getting your music out there.
Oh, absolutely. When I first moved here, I was interviewed by the Seattle PI when they existed.
Rest in peace.
I know, RIP. About the process of releasing an album as an unsigned artist and being a DIY musician and, you know, pressing CDs and how all that worked. And yeah, it's a lot different now.
Well, I always wonder whether in some ways it's a lot easier. You can make your own music. You can get your own music out there. On the other hand, because the bar has been lowered, a lot more people are making their own music and trying to get it out there. So there's a lot more competition.
Yeah, and there's a lot of noise to try to get above too. And my partner, who is a club DJ and a librarian, she's awesome. It's interesting having somebody who's outside of music, who really loves music, kind of see a little more of the inner workings. And she's just like, it's so frustrating to see, or it's so frustrating to watch it be so difficult to get people to just listen to music. It's so hard to get, you know, acquaintances or friends or professionals or whatever to just listen to a piece of music.
My theory is
there's so much out there.
There's too much music.
Yeah, there's so much out there.
Not that we want less, but it makes it harder to get someone to focus on it.
Yeah.
Jamie Aaron, it's been a real pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
The new album is called Velo Scene. And do you have any gigs coming up you'd like to let people know about?
I do. I have a pretty sweet show on January 23rd at the Columbia City Theater with Murder Vibes and Navi.
Great. Yeah. We're not going to let you go quite yet. We want you to play These Girls.
All right.
Is there a story behind that song you'd like to tell us?
Well, speaking of being an elder person, just kind of having an evening that was a little more dramatic than it needed to be and realizing I'm a little too old for this kind of stuff.
Perfect. Let's hear it. These Girls from Jamie Aaron.
Thank you so much.
These girls, they're seen, they talk, high bid, the white lights, near sights, all stars, synth kicks, you hot, knock out, you're knocked out. Dance, grab a hold her arm, talking nasty trash, taking separate cabs, who would ever know? Used to love her now. Mistake, firmly stood the ground, cracked under your feet, who is gonna know? Used to love her now. These kids, they're drugs, they're fun, it ends. This scene, just seen her